My name is Colin Malang, and Hanna, Alberta is my home, and today I am doing well. Depression would take a toll on me. It took a toll on my mental, emotional, and physical health. It also affected my loved ones. The point I want to make in this talk is, I did not lose everything in 2005 and then get depressed. I'd been depressed for years, and because it went untreated, I lost everything. The more depressed I got, the poorer decisions I made, and the higher my anxiety went. It is really hard to make good decisions when your anxiety is through the roof. Even though the writing was on the wall that the small family hog farm was not going to survive, my dad had taught me, never quit and never give up. When things get hard, just work harder, and I did. Until March of 05, when a bailiff showed up at the door, badge in hand. I had told my creditors that I was going to do an orderly liquidation of the farm, but one of them, believing that I was just going to pocket the money, moved in with the bailiff. I was smart enough to know that you have to listen to someone with a badge. As I pleaded with him to change what was about to happen, he said, "It's too late. Someone else has made a decision, and it cannot be stopped." What I learned in this is, if you do not make decisions for yourself, someone else will, and it will not be in our best interest. It was not in my best interest to have the family farm liquidated in this way. As I sat at the kitchen table through the window, I watched the convoy of trucks come in and haul away all the pigs and the equipment. At that time, we had 150 sow fair to finish operation and equipment to farm six quarters. Just like that, I was done farming, and everything was sold off at fire sale prices. A week later, the bank moved in to foreclose. I was able to make a deal to stay on the farm for just one more year. A week later, our natural gas got cut off and stayed off for the next 5 months. 3 years prior, I went through farm debt mediation, and the creditors had said, if one creditor moves, we will all move. And they did. They stayed true to their word. A week later, my part-time off-farm employment came to an end. Because of the emotional toll, I could not function well enough to do the work. I'd always prided myself on my ability to function in this world. Now, I felt like a failure. I felt deeply vulnerable. If I was to describe one word to that month of March 2005, it would be humiliating. I was overwhelmed with guilt. I never signed a loan or a bill that I did not intend to pay. Oh, I was so embarrassed. The family farm that my mom and dad gave their life to, and I so wanted to pass on to my children, died on my watch. Underneath all this humiliation, guilt, and embarrassment, I was sunk in a wall of shame. Shame is the most debilitating emotion we as human beings can hold. It sucks the life right out of us. The point I want to make is this. I did not lose everything and then get depressed. I had been depressed for years, and because it went untreated, I lost everything. I lost everything because I lost my ability to make good decisions. Undiagnosed depression takes a toll on us and our families. It took a huge toll on my well-being and the people I loved. 5 years prior to this, I wondered if I was depressed. One day I was watching Oprah and she asked her guests, what are the signs of depression? The therapist said, if you are sad and blue for a period of 6 weeks, you are clinically depressed. I remember asking myself, am I sad or blue? No, I did not feel sad or blue. So my self-diagnosis was, well, I guess I'm not depressed. Now, if someone would have asked me, are you angry? Are you losing your cool? Are you engaging in risky behavior? What about alcohol? What I have learned for some men, our depression does not show up as feeling sad or blue. Anger, fits of rage, engaging in risky behavior, drinking, drugs, working too much, sleepless nights reflect more our reality. For us as men, we're socialized to deal with our feelings by stuffing them with work, alcohol, drugs, and more work. We're taught to deal with our emotions on our own. Boys are raised to suck it up, get over it. And those messages stay within us. They become imprinted upon our psyche. We as males were socialized to put work first, pursue status, and stuff our emotions. Keep them inside and do not ask for help. Asking for help is actually seen as weakness. We're not given tools to help us regulate our emotions in a healthy way, express our emotions in a way that can be heard. We're not taught that expressing emotions are a part of being a healthy human being. Boys learn at a very young age that crying is not okay. Only problem, crying is a way to heal the hurt. Stopping the crying does not stop the hurting. It only stops the healing. To be a man in this culture is to be in complete control of your emotions at all times. We expend tremendous energy keeping a lid on our emotions. And the only socially acceptable emotion for us as men to show is anger. But unregulated anger just makes matters worse, and anger turned inward can turn into depression. Not talking about our feelings or numbing out to them does not make them go away. Depression can hit us like running into a brick wall, or most of the time, just sneaks up on us. Carbon monoxide is like depression. Now, you do not see the gas, smell it, taste it, or hear it. It can sneak up on us. A little carbon monoxide can make us sick, and enough of it can kill us. Same with depression. Carbon monoxide is called a silent killer, and so is depression. Depression can make us sick and weaken us, and enough of it can take us out. You just want the pain to go away. People who take their life have my deepest compassion and mercy. You just want the pain to go away. You just want the darkness and the emptiness to be gone. Suicide is more an act of desperation than a selfish act. You just want the pain, the emptiness, the darkness to go away. After years of depression, my brain had gone to mush. I once heard depression erodes our brain cells. Boy, do I get that. The farm collapsed because I could not make good decisions. I was overwhelmed with anxiety and hopelessness, which led to more poor decisions, more choices, which led to more anxiety, more hopelessness, and more isolation. When our brain does not work, we are in trouble. We feel vulnerable inside, and we remove ourselves from community life. We go inward, we hunkered down. After the farm collapsed, I finally got to a doctor and then made an appointment to see a therapist. The turning point for me was when the therapist said, imagine a wooden stake in front of you with two signposts, one saying, stay bitter, and the other, get better. Then she said, it's your choice how you want to live the rest of your life. Do you want to stay bitter, or do you want to get better? I wanted to get better for my mom and my children, but getting better would mean facing my past and feeling the pain of loss and bad decisions. I had to deal with my stuff. Because when we do not deal with our stuff will deal with us, and it is not pretty. It would take 7 years for me to recover, 7 years before I felt like I was walking on solid ground, 7 years before I felt like myself again, 7 years of daily being consciously aware of what I'm taking into my brain through my mouth, nose, eyes, and ears. I needed to do everything I could to get my brain working again and help my body to heal after years of intense stress and anxiety. My journey out of the valley would take 7 years, but I did not walk that journey by myself. I had family and friends who supported my healing journey. Without them, I could not have done it. I am deeply grateful for what life has given me and taught me. I'm so grateful to be alive. Today, I am well, mentally, emotionally, and physically. One of the most important things I've learned in my journey of life is we are not meant to walk our journey alone. We need one another. We need to have people in our life to help us bear our burdens just as we help them bear their burdens. My name is Colin Mullane, and I have a good life. Thank you for listening to my story.